You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Jimmy, this is your favorite singer, right? Kesha?
Yes.
I think it is. I think it's. I know she's big on your playlist. I did have that right, Megan, right? Thank you, Megan. Megan Rock, very proud that I many generations apart, and that I knew that.
Sounds like a defenseman for the Czech Republic.
That's great. 216-578-0850. 216-578-0850. Vic Carucci with Jim Donovan. I'm actually not with him. I'm in Indianapolis for the Combine. We'll be broadcasting here tomorrow, just to let you know. This show, 1 to 3 p.m. tomorrow and Friday from Lucas Oil Stadium with Eric Metcalf will be along with a cast of thousands.
That was one of the really exciting draft picks when the Browns picked Eric Metcalf.
Yeah.
Because it went at that time they weren't
drafting.
There
was a trade or something right before that, wasn't there, too? Yeah.
Yeah, and it wasn't, but, you know, they just didn't pick players like that. And right. When he came in, he was so different than any of the players. The Browns were a thick, sturdy, slow team. And then suddenly he came in, and, I mean, he electrified people when he arrived here in Cleveland. They hadn't seen that kind of speed here.
No, they hadn't. And he is looking still like he can run pretty darn fast. Yeah. And he's going to sit down. I think we're – I don't
is
know.
Is he
we're
a track to, coach, Vic, out in Washington?
Out in the state of Washington, right. He is. And he we're trying to convince him. I say we. I'm not really part of this, but I'm hearing I've been in the crossfire of emails and stuff trying to push him to maybe, like, run a 40 for us on Radio Row because he's going to be on the show with us on Saturday as well, Aaron Goldhammer and Tony Rizzo and myself with Eric. We'll be doing a combine special, 9 a.m. that'll air on ESPN 850 WKNR from 9 till noon, and I'll be on for the first couple of hours of that one before I do some national stuff for Sirius XM NFL Radio. All right, phones. Chevy in New Jersey wants to join us now. Chevy, what do we got, brother?
I think the Browns will select Teddy Bridgewater, and I think he's got the height and the throwing ability to sit back with a strong O-line and a good running game and pick apart defenses. Of course, Hoyer's going to be the starter, and I think Ray Farmer is not just going to have a draft. He's going to have free agency. He's going to renegotiate the Quell's contract. He's going to have an all-encompassing year, and the Browns are going to come out with a huge O-line. They're going to be strong, and the quarterback is going to manage Hoyer or Bridgewater or even Manziel to do that. Jimmy's going to be calling a lot of touchdowns.
I'm all for that.
Thank you, Chevy.
I'm all for that. I would say this, that if you took a look at Ray Farmer right now, Vic, his plate is full.
It's very full. There's a lot to be done.
A lot to be done.
The free agents, again, Alex Mack, and you heard the reports regarding, but a lot of that will be addressed while he's here. Even though Mack's out of the country, his agent will certainly be around here this week, and those conversations can go on. Same with T.J. Ward. But I want to go back to what the caller said. Mm-hmm. He lost me a little bit at the end when he inserted Johnny Manziel's name, because I thought he had a conviction about Teddy Bridgewater, and then he threw Manziel in as a backup choice. But let's stick with Bridgewater. This is what Mike Mayock had to say about why Bridgewater is the most NFL-ready quarterback in the draft.
With the first 8 picks in the draft, 5 teams have heavy quarterback needs, including 1 and 3 ahead of Cleveland. So from my perspective, the reason I think he's the, quote, most ready to play in an NFL-style offense is he was under center, he was in pistol, he was in shotgun. His offense, they threw the ball short, intermediate, and deep. He understands 3-step, 5-step. He reads more than just half a field. So you can put the tape on and watch him do things and say, yeah, that translates to the next level. He's not as much a wild card as Manziel, and I think he's more developed in his reads and throws than Bortles. So that's why I say I think he's the most ready to play. Whether or not he's going to be there, you know, that depends what Houston and Jacksonville do.
All right. Interesting stuff from him. It's almost become like a cliche to say that Bridgewater is, quote, the most NFL ready. But when you watch it on tape, you sort of see what that means in terms of his the consistency, stability.
Yeah. The other thing, Vic, is that part of his answer when he talks about, You know, he's been under center. You know, he's been in the pistol. He's been in the shotgun. Well, you know, now nowadays, even in the NFL, you're in the shotgun a ton. But the fact that, you know, if you're solely in the pistol and the shotgun, like a lot of these kids are coming out of college, that is not an easy thing for them to go underneath center.
Oh, no.
You know, that is not an easy thing.
Big
adjustment. Brandon Whedon struggled with that.
I don't think he ever got comfortable with that whatsoever. No, right. And I mean, and how important is it to be under center? Now, the other point that our caller also made before was he said they'll get some big offensive linemen. Let's not be so sure of that. This is going to be an interesting scouting exercise by Ray Farmer and the personnel staff, because they're going to look for linemen that fit the scheme of right. Kyle Shanahan. It's the, again, it has that general term of outside zone, and what outside zone means is that either to your left or to your right, you're running laterally, and you've got to have the mobility to do that. You're creating seams as you block. Right. You've got to be physical. I mean, you're not just running and not hitting anybody. You're running and hitting and making contact and moving defenders so that you have a back who is also simultaneously following the pattern and then making what's called the one cut, the cut back against right. the grain into one of those seams and then exploding upfield. And ideally, that's a guy that's, you know, so it's a back that has to have those right instincts. But as far as the linemen are concerned, you better be mobile. I mean, Kyle Shanahan will tell you, you don't have to just be, they don't have to be smaller linemen in relative terms to be mobile, but they want the biggest possible guys that right. can be mobile. But they're not gigantic. It's not a gigantic plow blade line.
Right. It's you create the seam on the go.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not a defined hole all the time. Vic, nobody did that better than his dad when he had the Broncos, right, in the offensive line that they had. Because you and I could have gone and run tailback for the Broncos, and we would have rushed for over 1,000 yards. You remember they would bring in anybody when Mike Shanahan had that offensive line that did this and did it really well. I mean, they were, if you pop in a tape, the instructional film is the way they did it, and they could create those seams for those running backs.
No, there's no question, and that's, I think, something that's held against a guy like Terrell Davis a little bit, his spectacular work that he did, that he was more of a product of a system, of a running
right.
system. And then, you know, it turned out that, again, you didn't necessarily, like Davis and all, you didn't necessarily have to make bigger investments in those players, high draft picks or expensive free agent investments, because those guys could function well in a system. But it was really a guy named Alex Gibbs who worked with Mike Shanahan and taught those techniques. And it's not only blocking on the move, it's also blocking low. It's also taking out those ends by taking them out by their legs.
Right.
And defenders hate zone blocking teams because they fear for their knees and rightfully so. T-Bone from Columbus, Ohio on the line with us. Hello, T-Bone.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good, T-Bone.
Good. Hey, I listen to you guys every day, but I want to throw out a different scenario. The two guys that I like that are never mentioned, I would probably go defense in the first, but I really like Jordan, I think his name is, from Vanderbilt, a wide receiver. And then there's a quarterback, which I think you can get in the second or even third round, which is David Fales from San Jose. Nobody talks this guy up. He's 6'3", 220. I watched him when he played up against Carr, and he outplayed Carr on head-to-head, and I think he outplayed him in the Senior Bowl, if you go back and look at it.
Hmm.
He's got, much more mobile than you think. He makes quick decisions. He's got a lot of pocket presence, and I really like him as a sleeper, and nobody's talking about him. I want to throw my name in that name in the hat, because I think they need to pay attention to him. I would go with Khalil, I would go with Barr, or I'd go with Clowney in the first pick if I could.
Who did you say that receiver was again? From, you said from San Jose State?
No,
the receiver was from Vanderbilt.
From Vandy. Vandy.
Jordan.
Okay.
And I'm not sure. And if you look at that Senior Bowl, Fales threw a beautiful pass that he caught down the sideline, over the shoulder catch. The two of them hook up well together. I'd love to see him in Cleveland.
Jordan Matthews from Vanderbilt is who you're talking about. Yes, and I think he's a pretty superb guy, too. He's got probably a second-round grade on him right now, 6'3", 209, you know, played and got a lot of good some good reviews, Jim, on what he did in that offense. So he might be somebody that you can take possibly in the second round.
Absolutely. You know. Well, I mean, you know, if the draft is as rich as it is, and you know, then you're going to be able to find these kind of players, which was not the case last year. I mean, when you by the time you hit Friday night, the second night of the draft, I mean, you were kind of reaching, you know. And I mean, you know, the Browns could say, I mean, you know, did they reach for Leon McFadden in the third round? I mean, you know, at that point, then, you know, it wasn't a bountiful draft. So yeah, we're going to hear about a lot of guys, and the draft is going to be deeper.
Yeah, and if that, and again, if that's true, and David Fales, the quarterback from San Jose State, he's also talking about as well, 6'2", 220, but I saw him also at the Senior Bowl, talked with him at the Senior Bowl, seems like a smart, engaging kid, didn't do so bad in his practices. He was sort of up and down, but he's a guy that I think people can see probably third day, you know, fourth or fifth round pick.
Sure.
I mean, that's probably where he goes.
Right.
All right, we are going to have a conversation with Gerard Cherry, make his regular appearance on the show. That is coming up next on CBD. Vic and Jim, ESPN 850, WKNR.